of a good love. When we're all alone, keep it up, girl. Yeah, you turn me on. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in.
Daniel, this is something that we don't typically do. We don't usually, this isn't your current events podcast, but for some reason, I don't know, it seems to be the talk of the town. We accidentally brought up James Gunn without knowing about all the recent events on our Zack Snyder episode, and we thought, you know.
Yeah, we brought him up intentionally because, of course, he's the writer of
Dawn of the Dead,
so I felt like we had to talk about him.
Yeah.
But we
didn't
know anything that has happened within the last week.
Well, it just seems like it's the hot topic of the moment. And granted, even by the time we publish this special, it may be old news, but nevertheless, it seems to be the topic everyone's talking about. And for those who don't know, of course, James Gunn, director of the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise, big deal. It was discovered on a very, very old set of tweets that he made. What is this, like 8-10 years ago?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
It's quite a while ago, but you know, he made some insensitive comments and some jokes that were, we can all say, particularly in today's climate, very ill-advised.
Oh, extremely ill-advised, but also jokes. I mean, specifically,
they were jokes,
right? They were jokes.
And of course, because of that, he was fired from the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise by Marvel/Disney. I wish I could say that is a uncommon scenario, but it's becoming a more and more common scenario, it seems like, in recent entertainment business news. It seems like pretty often now. Well, often, I don't know. It seems like we hear about these entertainers that something comes out from their past and suddenly they're on the outs and their career's in the toilet.
Because, I mean, multiple things are happening, right? I mean, this whole thing is predicated on money, of course, and trying to get people to go see things that a studio is making.
Right.
So news like this comes out, they feel like they have to fire. Maybe they don't have to fire. They have to have some course of action.
Yeah.
In this scenario, the course of action was firing James Gunn. What I find really fascinating about this situation is the immediate, what felt like immediate response to the firing in support of
James Gunn. Yeah.
And I don't think I've seen this type of response, at least in the way
the support. Kind
of the support, right.
Yeah. Like Roseanne had her supporters and keep her on the air, but it was definitely the slim, tiny minority. Also, there isn't a lot of, you know, bring back Cosby or bring back Kevin Spacey or something like that. Like, you know, we're not seeing a lot of that. But it is kind of interesting with James Gunn. People are saying, he was younger, it was a joke, he said it was a joke, he apologized, he's acknowledged he's a different person now. Do we really need to fire a guy who's really good at making these movies from these movies?
Right. And so here's the question, because I really feel like it hinges on what's acceptable, appropriate, when it comes to, I don't even want to say comedy, because I feel like that's an art form in and of itself, and I don't think James Gunn was stepping into the art form of comedy, but he was certainly attempting to make jokes.
Yeah.
What's the line?
Yeah.
Maybe you're a funny guy.
Thanks.
Newsflash. Yeah. Jeremy Bear's a funny guy.
Just super, super funny.
Yeah, you've thought about this.
Well, sure. Yeah. And by the way, I don't want to, and I feel like I have to do this all the time, Daniel, but I would never in a million years want to represent that my opinions on issues like this are both of our opinions. So,
well, thank you.
Most definitely.
Actually haven't talked about this.
No, you and I haven't talked about this, but the only thing we've talked about is we should talk about this.
Yeah.
I think some of it goes back to a little bit of the conversation we had back on our Spike Lee episode. Mm-hmm. Should bad choices you made when you were a younger artist define the artist that you are now? I mentioned on that episode that no, they shouldn't. That's not to say that there aren't consequences for choices that you made when you were that younger artist. There have to be, to a certain degree. Ultimately, who's the arbiter of doling out those consequences? Is it your audience? Is it culture in general? Is it what type of sin have you committed and what's the fallout of, you know? I'm going to get a little bit transparent and maybe a little over vulnerable right now.
Okay.
And again, no one needs to agree with this. I don't personally believe in topics that are off limits to joke about.
So anything's fair game.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Now I say this, and this is where I'm getting a little bit transparent. I've had difficult things happen to me in my life. in relationships, with family members. I'll admit this openly. Years ago, my wife and I had three children and they passed away. And it's maybe the biggest source of pain I've ever had in my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are comedians that make jokes about things like crib death and dead babies and stuff like that. I'm not offended by those jokes. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go so far as to say, and because of my personal experiences, I'm not going to go so far as to say I find those jokes funny. I don't think I could ever get to that place personally. But I believe in the spirit behind even making jokes about those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I think you should be able to make jokes about that kind of stuff. I don't think there's anything that's beyond joking about. And people say things like, well, there's no such thing as a funny Holocaust joke or a funny rape joke or a funny fill in the blank joke. And I say, well, but not everyone agrees with that, mm-hmm. for one thing. And, you know, I guess I feel like personally, if your expression, and this is true sometimes, a person's expression or protest of something sometimes comes in the form of a joke. And sometimes that's often the best and most profound expression of a protest of a certain type of activity or a type of event or a certain reality of our world. I'm actually all about that. To me, I'm comfortable making the umbrella statement that I don't believe anything is off limits to joke about. Now, does that mean that nothing is tacky? Of course not. Or that nothing is that I find disgusting? Of course, there's all kinds of things that I find disgusting. But I don't know. To me, there's something kind of sacred about a joke. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's all we have. And I think telling tasteless jokes, and even if it's in this like James Gunn context, which he sort of not defends, but, you know, he sort of explains by saying, you know, this was the form that my punk rock youth took at that time. I accept that, you mm-hmm. know, that's okay. You know, I'm okay is the wrong word, but, you know, I'm willing to accept that. And I'm even going to go so far as to say, I'm interested in the artwork of the guy who used to be that guy, but is now a different guy.
Right. You know, hearing you articulate kind of your feelings about it, Jeremy, kind of helps clarify some of my own thoughts about it. Because I don't think I thought about it in categories of what is off limits and what isn't. Or maybe I didn't. Then maybe that's what you're revealing. When I read the jokes that he made, like I had some visceral reactions to him. Mm. I mean, to things that he was joking about.
Sure.
I would never think, though, that he's not worthy of doing the job he's been doing.
Yeah.
Can a person evolve with culture? But if he was to look back and be like, whoa, wow, I can't believe I did that. And it's not fair to me for people to think he's the same now as he was.
Yeah.
But we do this all the time. And we being human beings, we come to a place and we're in the 21st century. And then, you know, I work with sacred texts, like I'm thinking of the Bible in particular. It's easy to think back in our 21st century mindset and say, oh, how ridiculous they were. And I can't believe they thought this way. Well, thank God we don't now. And yet, I can still kind of see some of the seeds there that maybe helped us get here, that would help us critique then. How that relates to the James Gunn scenario, I don't know if he shouldn't be, I don't know. Would you want to have your job security based on who you were as a 28-year-old, 27-year-old? Right. Or is the hope that I would have somehow grown and understood a little bit more, become more humble, become more gracious, become more appropriate even. I would hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Well, I think
I'm just trying to wrestle with it.
No, it does to me, because I think the artist you were was essential to the artist that you are, even if you're a completely different artist. And so, you know, bad choices that Spike Lee made in his very first movie were part of the recipe into the great director that is Spike Lee. By the way, in response to the, should the person that we were 10 years ago, you know, .. If my career is based on statements that I made and pieces of art that I made when I was younger, I gotta tell you, man, I'm screwed. I'm done.
Yeah,
because I did so many I did and said so many regrettable things in my youth, some of which I imagine are probably still floating around the internet if people really, really wanted to dig for it. And yeah, I regret it. I wish they weren't there, but there's not much I can do about that now. Regret it is about all I can do, you know, and hope that people don't dig so far that they see what an asshole I was.
Right.
But if they choose to do that, there's not much I can do about it. But I made jokes about things that I wish I'd never joked about. I mean, it's probably being overly kind to it to call it like a punk rock attitude, but it just, you know, it was a version of that for me, and it's a version of that for a lot of artists. And that's all part of the recipe. That's what do you call it? The little burnt, gross stuff that's right in the bottom of the pan that you wind up making, you know, beef stock out of later.
I do think it's a little unfair because this was done on social media.
Yeah.
Clearly in the culture,
mm-hmm,
the cultural consciousness, at least in terms of people being able to read it.
Yeah.
And he didn't get any shit for it then.
Right.
So I think that's interesting. So culture should be critiqued in the same ways as James Gunn is being critiqued for it.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it sounds like I'm defending him, and I don't mean to. I'm just, there are so many dynamics, one of which I do think, as I mentioned, is the social media aspect. I'm wondering, given the immediacy of availability, I don't think social media represents our best self.
Mm-hmm.
And partly because you can do what you want to do as quickly as you want to do it. Whereas I think part of being a good human being is testing things out, is being filtered.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was James Gunn's best self.
Right.
And so for him to be critiqued for his less than best self.
Because we all lose.
Oh, yeah.
If that's the standard, if we all get judged on our worst moments. And there are cases, of course, where you have to, you know, yeah, if you shoot someone in the face and that's your worst moment, yeah, unfortunately, you need to be judged on that moment. But if we're just taking society in general as, you know, whatever thoughts in our head or whatever thoughts that we express, the worst of those are what we're judged on, there has to be at some point, there does have to be some grace, you know? It's such a subjective line, and I totally get it. Whatever you cultivate in your life, and maybe this is just my, again, another naive thought, I feel like, yeah, that is going to come back. Now, is this, were these statements that James Gunn made, things that he was cultivating in his life? I mean, I don't know. You have to remember that he was the guy, in fact, I think this was even true while he was writing these things, mm-hmm, he was writing Lloyd Kaufman movies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
When you read those statements and you go and watch these, you know, whatever, trauma movies or something like that, which I don't know if the audience is familiar with those, but, you know, things like Toxic Avenger or something like that. But, you know, all these different, essentially this sort of punk rock take on everything. Fill it up with drugs and sex and craziness and nastiness and, you know, and it's just, and it was just this middle finger fuck you to the perceived idea of what the cultural norm of what cinema is supposed to be. And that was the whole point of it. And, you know, you could even make a case that, yeah, there's value in what Lloyd Kaufman was doing with all these films. And James Gunn was right in the middle of that. In that context, well, of course, he's that guy. He's that kid. And he's going to make all these kinds of outrageous statements and everything like that. And again, that's not a defense of it. But we're no longer in the context where that stuff was written. And to try and for all time it, when it wasn't for all time, it was that kid with some admittedly shitty ideas and some shitty jokes that I'm sure, I mean, clearly he regrets terrifically, but I think we've gone ruin people's lives crazy, mm-hmm, in our culture. You know, you see someone make a horrible mistake, or I mean, you know, what's the recent thing? This senator that,
oh, right,
you know, he's running around and yelling the N-word and trying, mm-hmm, to ram his butt into people because of Sacha Baron Cohen. Well, that's horrible. And it's funny, but
yeah,
there is a side of me that's just like, while I wouldn't want that guy to be my representative in my district, I don't know, does he really deserve to have he and his family have their entire lives ruined? Because that is what's happening.
It is.
I want us to be more forgiving, I guess, mm-hmm, in a way. I don't know how else to put it. I think we as a society need to be more forgiving. We need to allow natural consequences to happen to people that have earned natural consequences. But I think sometimes we're too harsh.
No, I know. I think a pendulum has swung in a way that's created a lot of good. And I think there are some, for lack of a better word, casualties along the way. I think, mm-hmm, this might be one of those where the pendulum has swung, and it's, and like I said, and I want to affirm that that's good. I mean, there are some things, yeah, that have needed to happen,
sure,
and needed to be exposed. And I mean, it's such a fascinating thing, even talking about this on a podcast, because I can't help but think that because of technology and what's made possible and our attempt at trying to struggle through something like this, that we will then be judged by what we say right. or don't say.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it diminishes at least the attempt to try and talk about it. And
yeah.
maybe that's it. Yeah, is there a way to talk about this? Maybe to have an interesting conversation mm-hmm. about what is appropriate, what is a good line in terms of joking? How yeah. might we use social media in a way that's conducive to helping to affirm the dignity of human beings? And, yeah. and instead of, oh shit, he said that, we need to save our asses because we still want to make money on the next film. And that's what pisses me off.
Well, that is the unfortunate thing. And of course, you know, whether it's ABC with Roseanne, or whether it's Disney Marvel with Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm sure 99% of us aren't naive enough to think it's Disney executives taking this profound moral stand.
No way.
They want to protect their brand, and I don't fault them for wanting to protect their brand. I mean, this is a beloved brand, and you know, and they don't want to be associated with that. I get it. And sure, you could also argue that no one is stopping James Gunn from making movies. It's just that Disney is stopping James Gunn from making Guardians of the Galaxy for Disney. So, mm-hmm. but honestly, I always go back to the Beatles when I think about it. The massive album burnings there were.
Right.
When John Lennon made the statement, we're more popular than Jesus. Just pandemonium in terms of the outcry over mm-hmm. that. And I remember seeing footage of preteen girls throwing Hard Day's Night onto these huge bonfires and stuff. I don't know. I look at that and I say, but Hard Day's Night is a good album and it'll always be a good album. And no matter what kind of statement John Lennon makes or how much I might agree or disagree with it or however much it might be, it may run contrary to my theology or however much I might be misinterpreting mm-hmm. what John Lennon has to say, it doesn't change how good the music on that album is. Mm-hmm. You know, even taking it back to our Zack Snyder episode, no matter how lousy a movie Watchmen is, it's never going to change how great a graphic novel Watchmen is. Mm-hmm. That's maybe the part of it that I don't want to get lost. The most important criteria to judge a piece of art by is by the piece of art. Mm-hmm. You know, it's by the quality of the piece of art, not by what I'm perceiving as the mindset of the creator of that art. And I think that's a really, really important distinction. I mean, sure, Bill Cosby's comedy is tied into his persona mm-hmm. and what we perceive as the family man that Bill Cosby was and all that kind of stuff. And it is hard right. to listen to some of these old Bill Cosby bits and not have the pictures in your mind mm-hmm. running of him dropping roofies or something into these drinks and, right. and getting grossed out. And I'm going to apologize because I know most people don't agree with me on this. I'm still somehow able to listen to Bill Cosby albums and still enjoy them. Mm-hmm. To me, they're not funny because of what a great guy I know Bill Cosby is. They're funny because
the artist's
I like
funny.
The jokes.
Yeah,
that's it. And I don't expect the world to meet me where I'm at. So I don't want anyone to hear that. It's just, that is my take on it, though. The art is the thing. The joke is the thing. The novel, the song, whatever it is, that's the thing. That's the thing that, for me, personally, is in front of the artist, particularly since I don't have a personal relationship with any of these artists, but I have an intimate relationship with a lot of their art. So, whatever. That's where I land on a lot of it.
No, that's helpful. It's interesting. I just hope that we being people, not just the two of us, can have conversations where we're struggling through these things, meeting one another and hearing one another and each other's perspectives. I would love to hear a woman's perspective on what you just said, mm-hmm. but I would never hear that if you aren't able to say what you say,
right?
And I think that's maybe some of the things that we're missing is this thing like with James Gunn happens. There's a whole way you're supposed to feel about it.
Right.
And I'm still not hearing anybody. I just hear a loud rush mm-hmm. towards an opinion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can say, I mean, speaking of things that we've said that we regret, I'm trying to remember what, maybe again, it was the Spike Lee episode. A lot of the great things in the Spike Lee episode. But I remember, and I think it was me that made the statement of, you know, we're probably not qualified to talk about this. I look back on that statement now and I'm like, no, I'm qualified. I'm qualified because I'm a human being.
Right.
And that's what I feel like I'm trying to grapple with myself. but I'm hoping that me and others can come to a better and better understanding of the requisite for you to have an opinion in the world as a human being is that you be a human being.
Yeah.
You don't have to be of a certain gender or of a certain skin color or of a certain age or a certain IQ or education or something like that to have an opinion. I mean, I might not agree, and society as a whole may not agree with that opinion. It may be really unpopular, and it may be a shitty, bigoted opinion or something like that, but it is yours.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have something to contribute to a discussion, particularly if it remains a discussion as opposed to a disrespectful throwdown or something like that, keep it respectful, but I don't know. I guess I feel like information is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I want more of it. So I'm trying to be a person who less and less apologizes for the fact that I even have an opinion. I think I want to know yours.
Yeah,
so
right.
I don't know. I'm hoping that people have the same sort of respect for what I think.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Anyhow, the James Gunn controversy. Who knew, right?
I know. Who knew? There's a lot there, though. I think it's a really important, at least conversations like this are important.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'm sure that this isn't the last scandal we're going to see in the entertainment business. And so I'm sure there's going to be further and further discussions about all these kinds of issues. What's the line between the art and the artist? And it's a sticky topic, but I'm glad we're able to open a dialogue about it.
Me too. We need to talk about it.
Yeah.
We do.
And don't you dare listen without giving us your opinion. I want to hear it.
We do. We really do.
Thanks very much. Promise that we'll get back to our usual with getting into freshman films and all that kind of stuff. But thanks for listening in on me and Daniel wrestling with the controversies of the day.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.